In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Feel all that heat? That's just the fire of the Holy Spirit. Just tell that to yourself. So we have, as our gospel lesson today, four short verses. And I didn't look this up, but I suspect that that's the shortest gospel lesson we have in the lectionary. But there's a lot packed into it. The story opens. Jesus has just told the parable of the Good Samaritan, and they're heading away, and they wind up with Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha live in Bethany. Bethany is about a mile and three quarters or so away from Jerusalem. It was an interesting place in biblical times. Being a mile and three quarters or so away, it was just far enough away that you couldn't see Jerusalem. There was a little rise there just above it, and you could not see the Temple Mount, which made it ritually okay for those who were ritually impure with illness to go and stay. We know from antiquity that there were at least three what they called almshouses, or what we might call hospitals today, one of which we know was devoted to those with leprosy. We actually encounter several times Jesus goes to Bethany, one of which he encounters this guy named Simon the leper, which makes perfect sense given that there would have been all of these people there. So we have Mary and Martha, and these two women in Bethany. Jesus goes there. Martha welcomes Jesus into the house. We know Mary and Martha also because they are the siblings of Lazarus, which story is recounted then in the Gospel of John. But here we have Martha making dinner. Martha is trying to prepare a meal for Jesus, and you'd have to imagine this whole entourage. So it's kind of a big deal. If you ever made dinner for about 14, 16 people, it takes a minute, right? Okay. So she's working very diligently. But Mary, now we have to be very careful about this too. This is Mary of Bethany, not Mary Magdalene, not Mary of Clopas, not Mary of Jacob, not any of the other Marys. There's at least five, some people say seven different Marys in the New Testament. So you almost need one of those little scorecards to keep track of who's who. But this is Mary of Bethany. And she is sitting and she's listening to everything that Jesus has to say. And you'd have to imagine that if you had the opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen, you're probably going to take that over standing in a hot kitchen, right? Especially in a desert climate like this, you're not going to want to stand in a hot kitchen. So, I don't know, maybe a little column A, a little column B, why is she out there sitting at Jesus? I'd like to think that she's sitting there because she wants to listen to everything that he has to say and hanging on every word. And Martha gets upset, right? And who can really blame her for being upset that she's trying to do everything? And so she comes out and she says to Jesus, make my sister get up. And Jesus says something that has always reminded me of something else that he says. He said, what? Man does not live by bread alone, but by the very word of God. It almost mirrors that whenever he says that Mary has chosen the better part. Mary has chosen to hang on the very word of God, not to worry so much about the bread and the food, to worry about things of the body, but worry about things of her soul. Always struck me that there seems to be a parallel between those two statements of Jesus. And we don't hear what Martha's reaction was to that, but I can't imagine it was pleasant. But Mary of Bethany has a very unique place in the gospel. She sits at the feet of Jesus. She listens. Whenever we encounter her, she you know, realizes something unique about Jesus that even his disciples seem to fail to fundamentally understand. And I think that the reason for that is that Mary was listening to understand. The disciples were listening sort of to understand, but mostly to act, men of action who wanted to go out and get things done, do things. These are the people that were sent out two by two into the world to go out and preach the gospel. And these are the men that were going to go and found the church. Mary sits and listens. But it's unique because that's the evening before, right before the events of Holy Week. Jesus is back to dinner with them. And Mary pulls out this expensive nard, this perfume used for funeral anointing, the one that Judas was so upset that she had used instead of selling it and taking the money for the common purse. She takes this, and she anoints Jesus. She prepares him for burial. None of the other disciples seem to understand what's going on. But Mary, the one who sat and listened, the one who sat to understand, she seems to be the only one who understood what was going to happen, what needed to happen. Mary was the only one. It's a unique fact about her. She understood because she listened to understand. She listened to understand what was going to happen, what was going to transpire before her. I think it would do us all a lot of good if we listened to understand. As I've said before, so many times in our modern society, we listen to respond. We don't listen to understand. We listen to react. We don't listen to know. When we take that time to listen to understand, in our context, to listen to Scripture, to listen to what God might be telling us in that still, small voice. To listen to what sound it might be that is coming to our hearts from God. When we listen for that and don't try to impose our own desires, our own wants, our own voice into that. My God, the things that we might be able to actually begin to comprehend. The transcendent possibilities of becoming who it is that God dreams for us all to be. Who it is that God calls us individually and collectively to be for God's kingdom. We just listen to understand. Take the time away. We're so busy in our lives that we devote an hour on Sunday morning to come to church. But I know, and I'm guilty of this too, we don't spend enough time reading Scripture and in prayer. I'm reminded of an Anglican theologian who once said that he prayed 3 hours every day. And someone said, well, what if you don't have time? He said, well, then I pray for four. The busyness of our lives must be quieted so that we can listen to God. Because otherwise, if we're not listening to God, why are we so busy in our lives? What are we doing? What are we doing to put it in, as an idol between us and our relationship with the Almighty? My brothers and sisters, as we go about our busy lives, it is desperately important that we listen to understand, that we make the time to understand, to listen, to delve into the richness, the vastness of God, so that we too might have the better part. Amen.